A year and a half ago, something unusual happened in Tajikistan. Peace broke out, and the peace seems to be holding. That's a new experience for Tajikistan, the southernmost of the former Soviet Union's Central Asian republics. Since the breakup of the USSR, Tajikistan has known little but civil war. Now, the communist government there has agreed to share power with an Islamic-led coalition. NPR's Michael Sullivan reports from the Tajik capital, Dushanbe.
It has been a long and bitter 8 years of independence for the remote mountainous nation of Tajikistan. The civil war between the communist government and a coalition of Islamic and secular forces killed more than 50,000 people. A half million more became refugees in their own country. But the peace accord between the government and the opposition has many here hopeful for the first time in a long time. Along with the accord has come relative security. On a recent Sunday afternoon, in Lenin Park, in the heart of the capital, Dushanbe, vendors hawked cotton candy and kebabs to families with young children, and the roller coaster and tilt-a-whirl were doing a brisk business. None of this, says visitor Abdul Fatul, would have been possible before the peace agreement was signed.
People were frightened even to go to their offices, and there were lots of people with the guns walking in the streets. But now you can see there are no more people with the guns in the city. And we are going freely to our offices and back, and working on the streets with our families.
Fatul believes the civil war is over now, and that the country can begin to rebuild. Mary Niso, who's brought her three children here today, agrees.
Yes, the war is over. I think it is over because people understood the nonsense of the war, that neither side was winning. If it wasn't over, if the situation wasn't better, I couldn't bring my children here today.
A lot of work has to be done still.
Paulo Lembo heads the United Nations Development Program in Tajikistan.
But the situation has changed, and not superficially. The country's become much safer, and this is a reality. Now, this is not going to be an easy process, because what we have now is the physiologic expression of bitter, violent, cruel civil war. And you don't transform a country like this in Switzerland in 24 hours. I think it will take some time, but we are on the right track.
The UN has been working since 1994 to bring Tajikistan's warring parties together. The breakthrough came when the communist government agreed to a power-sharing arrangement that gives the opposition 30% of government posts, including several key ministries. The accord also calls for the government to lift its ban on opposition political parties. In return, the Islamic-led opposition has agreed to integrate its troops into the government command structure. The UN's Paulo Lembo sees this unusual coalition of communists and Islamists as nothing short of groundbreaking, preventing the spread of fundamentalism in the region, he says, by including Islamic parties in the political mainstream.
This is unprecedented. For its impact in Central Asia, not only in this little country that we call Tajikistan, and for its symbolic value, demonstrating that it is possible to construct in the heart of Central Asia a truly parliamentary democracy where forces of Islamic inspiration cohabit in a truly democratic fashion with secular forces here.
Muhammad Sharif Himatzoda was in exile for most of the civil war. Now he is back in Dushanbe and a leader of the Islamic Revival Party, the largest and most powerful opposition group. Though he agrees with Paulo Lembo that the civil war is over, he is impatient with the pace of the peace process. But he insists his party is committed to a democratic system and does not seek the creation of an Islamic state in Tajikistan. All he's asking for is a guarantee of the right to political expression.
We are normal Muslims. We want to have our rights to act within the framework of the law, to be involved in the political activities within the framework of the law. But if there is a limitation of the activities and rights of political parties, extremists could use this as an excuse to try to disrupt the peace process.
Another major stumbling block is the opposition's insistence on its nominee for defense minister, a powerful Islamic field commander, Mirzo Ziyoyev. President Imamoğlu Rakhmonov's government has so far been unwilling to accept Ziyoyev for the post. Diplomats here say he's not trusted by many in Rakhmonov's government, nor by the Russians who maintain peacekeeping troops here and wield considerable influence. Ziyoyev, who commands a large and disciplined fighting force, is reported to have massed his troops to the west of the capital and could cause trouble if his appointment is not confirmed. Tajikistan's fragile peace is also threatened by some elements unhappy with the peace accord. In Tajikistan's second-largest city, Khojand, in the north, a renegade former army colonel, Mahmoud Hudaberdiev, seized a government fortress and held it for 4 days of bitter fighting in November. Khojand's post office and several nearby buildings were gutted during the confrontation and are only now being rebuilt. The rebellion left more than 160 people dead and hundreds more, mostly civilians, wounded. Hudaberdiev is rumored to have fled to neighboring Uzbekistan. A Khojand journalist who doesn't want his name used says Hudaberdiev remains a threat.
He proved he could come here and cause big trouble. When we speak about peaceful reconciliation in Tajikistan, of course, we mean two sides, government and opposition. But there is a third side, which he represents, and they can still cause some problems for the peace process in Tajikistan.
The hurdles facing Tajikistan are daunting. Years of civil war have devastated the country's infrastructure. Economic activity is minimal, natural resources scarce. The country's violent past and geographical isolation also make it difficult to attract enough foreign aid and investment to help Tajikistan get back on its feet. But there does seem to be a genuine feeling here that people are weary of war, a war that neither side was ever able to win. And the capital, Dushanbe, is slowly coming back to life. Street cafes are open again in the evenings, construction is almost complete on a new hotel in the center of the city, and a casino opened just a few weeks ago in Lenin Park. Some Tajiks, it seems, are betting that this peace may hold. Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Dushanbe.